Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
Hello and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight, episode 39. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me is...
Batman.
No.
DFJ and Mike, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Unfortunately, we only have two episodes left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a happy and a sad moment at the same time.
Yes. You know what? We've had a good run.
It's longer than our Transformer podcast I've ever run.
Well,
there's a lot more episodes too.
Well, no. Beast Unleashed was 30.
Yep, so this one's going to hit 40.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can only... Unless I want to start doing podcasts like how the wonderful people over at the Arkham Sessions do, where they talk about one episode per podcast, the only way I could have stretched out, like, Secret Origins. Secret Origins podcast could have been 91 episodes if we did it episode by episode. You know? I mean, it's just one of those things. But yeah, no, Legends the legend is coming to an end, and we're here in episode 39. This episode has gone through many gestational changes over the last 2 years. There was one point we were going to sit here and talk about all the toys from the DC Animated Universe. There was one point we were going to do something else. And then I'm like, oh, well, everybody loves top lists. Top lists.
I wasn't going there.
Yeah, well, Michael Wilson would have if he was here. Or Kevin.
We're done.
Well, he lives in Canada. That whole region's mind's in the gutter.
I was going to say the whole region's topless, but
somehow that scares the living hell out of me. So we are here to talk about our top 20 BTAS and Batman Beyond episodes. There are two top 10 lists. Average, totaling up to 20 episodes per show, or total in both shows. But before that, we have to talk about something equally as awesome. The complete track list for Batman the Animated Series original soundtrack from Warner Brothers Television Series Volume 3. La La Land Records has done BTIS Volume 3. And it is epic. It contains, I believe it's over 20, let's see here. This is from our friends at The World's Finest, has breakdown of the complete track list for the highly anticipated Batman anime series, Volume 3. CD release available from La La Land Records, as I already said, October 7th, so it's already out at this point. The multi-disc set will be available to order directly from the label's website or through select online vendors. The first 200 people who purchase the score through the La La Land Records website will receive a signed front tray card and autographed by composers Lolita Ramanas, Michael McQuestion, and Carlos Rodriguez at no extra charge. Quantities are limited. So here's what's happening with this set. We have scores from Robin's Reckoning Parts 1 and 2. We will have scores from POV, The Clock King, Tiger Tiger, See No Evil. That's Disc 1. So all of that is on Disc 1, 40 tracks. Total disc time for Disc 1, 77 minutes, 38 seconds. Disc 2 starts off with Cat Scratch Fever, The Forgotten. I am so excited. That is probably the one that I'm most excited for, because I love that theme during the scene when they're trying to escape. I love that. Be a Clown, one of your favorites. Then we have Dreams in Darkness, The Underdwellers, Terror in the Sky, rounds out Disc 2, total disc time 78 minutes 32 seconds. Disc 3 starts with a main title demo with two pianos, Shirley Walker and Danny Elfman playing both pianos. Then it goes into Night of the Ninja, Day of the Samurai, Prophecy of Doom, Eternal Youth. Yes, I love Eternal Youth. Absolutely love that one. What is Reality, which that's the Riddler episode where he gets trapped in the computer.
Yep.
Mudslide, that rounds out Disc 3, total time 78:26. Disc 4 of the set, final one, I Am the Knight, is the first nine tracks, Heart of Steel Part 1 and 2. And then we have Blind as a Bat, Paging the Crime Doctor, and The Man Who Killed Batman rounds out the fourth disc. The total time on that is 78:28. Total time, the entire album, 312 minutes and 53 seconds. Wow. So I am going to be, I'm currently, as of this recording, waiting on my copy from La La Land Records so I can review it for the site. I'm actually going back and re-listening to the original first two volumes so I can rewrite. Because I did this whole thing back when you and I did that 73 years of Batman thing 2 years ago, when we did our whole Batman Week theme thing. I had written up a post about soundtracks of the Bat, and I kind of covered the old 60s show. I covered the movies to that point, both the 90s movies and the Nolanverse, as well as all of the Batman-centric DCAU stuff. Since that time, I've gone back and I've looked at that post, and I'm like, yeah, I really need to rewrite these. So I'm going to be rewriting, and it's going to be all new content. I'm not going to really rehash anything from that other post. I'm going to rewrite everything. I'm going to write up reviews for all three scores, all three volumes of the score. What are you most interested in hearing from Volume 3 out of the track listing that I just talked about?
All of it. I love Batman the Animated Series music, so whenever I see it, I'm like,
Yeah, I am too. I mean, yes, I did kind of go, yeah, at Tiger Tiger. It's not because of the music. It's because of what Tiger Tiger is. It's a really bad episode of the series. Okay, now that we have Volume 3, I know eventually they're going to do a Volume 4. I'm just waiting. At this point, the two episodes I really want them to do, Over the Edge and old wounds. Because in Volume 2, I already have Almost Got Him. So I'm set for Almost Got Him. I got that music. That's done. I need Over the Edge and Old Wounds. Those are the two episodes that I really, really want. I was hoping they'd be on here, but they're not. But, I mean, Robin's Reckoning, what's reality, you know, what is reality, that kind of makes up for it. Cannot wait to listen to this stuff. Absolutely awesome. I think I've taken up enough time here. We are going to head to our top 10 Batman the Animated Series episodes. This is our favorite episodes after this.
Lady, that is the sickest thing I've ever seen. You're creeping me out.
You? She kissed me. The voice kept calling me Bruce. In my mind, that's not what I call myself.
What do you call yourself? Oh, yeah. I suppose you would. But that's my name now.
Tell that to my subconscious.
Then I can set the Batmobile to scan for them, can't I?
Uh-huh. Unless they've already made an omelet out of him.
Oh, hey.
It is time to go beyond. This is our top 10 favorite Batman Beyond episodes. What is your number 10, sir?
Oh. I'm going to go Disappearing Ink.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you like about that one?
Just the fact that it's ink and you got the disgruntled employee syndrome.
Oh, yeah. Poor Warren.
Yeah.
My number 10 is also an ink episode, but it is her premiere episode in Blackout. This episode shows you how long Terry has really been Batman. It isn't been very long since he put the suit on, because he is constantly learning from Ink and his battle with her. Because, let's face it, Ink is Terry McGinnis Batman's, you know, she is his Joker. She is his, you know, Two-Face. She is basically his main villain. And this is the one where she almost... Actually, she does. She does get into the cave. And this is what causes Terry later to be, you know, reinforcing the door and everything else. Absolutely love Blackout. Number 9, sir?
Well, real quickly, going back to my other one, that's the one that Bruce used the armor in The Grey Ghost.
Ah.
That was the coolest thing ever, seeing Bruce go back in a bat suit.
Yep.
Where's Terry?
Oh, interesting.
Because you have to have Bruce going with Max to try and find Terry.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. yeah, that was really funny because, you know, she's going to try to trick Bruce to sneak off, and then he tricks her so he can sneak off and find Terry. So that was really cool. My number 9 is the introduction to the Royal Flush Gang in Dead Man's Hand. Absolutely love this. I think this is awesome. This is a point where Terry and Dana are broken up. I've often wanted to see what would happen if Terry and Melanie, aka 10, would, you know, let their relationship blossom. We kind of saw it in the 2.0 comics written by Kyle Higgins, but it didn't last long enough. So there is that. But absolutely love Dead Man's Hand. Probably the only time in my entire life that I can say I actually enjoyed something in George Lazenby actually did. Because he was the voice of King in the episode. Your number 8, sir?
I'm going to say Babel. Just because you have everything being affected by Shriek's...
tuning fork.
Yeah. More or less. And then, you know,
tuning fork into this series as a weapon. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, I mean, it's... And then... Shriek has a building fall on him.
Yeah.
Because he can't hear it.
Pretty much, yeah. What I do love about that episode is how Bruce and Terry babble, but they still... look at each other, and by the looks in their eyes, they know what to do. I love that whole scene in the Batcave.
Well, they are father and son.
Nobody knows that yet.
We do.
Yeah. So my number 8 is The Inside Peak. I looked at this episode title, I'm like, oh no, what is this? And I figured it was your standard paparazzi moment. And it kind of is, but I really do like the episode. I like looking at Ian Peake and seeing what he's become, or, you know, seeing how Terry would deal with a problem like this, you know, almost being exposed. So that's why I enjoy Inside Peak. Your number 7, sir?
My number 7 would be Joyride.
Really?
Well, there's an ulterior motive behind it.
Jokers?
Well, it's Jokers, but you also have the dead body of the Joker in the episode.
Yeah.
Full on with his costume and bow tie, but it's his skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
But it's wearing the boutonniere and, yeah. It's in a mine shaft, which could have been assumed to have been Arkham Asylum area. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My number 7 is When Terry Got the Call. One of the reasons why I absolutely love this episode is how the first part ends with Terry and Bruce looking at the kryptonite. Absolutely love that. And then... crap. And then in the second part of the episode, where Superman is flying vertically to catch Terry, and Terry says, "How fast is this thing? Mach 3. Is that faster than a speeding bullet?" It's not just because of that, but it's because of the music that's under that tone. It's a darker version of the Superman the Animated Series theme. Absolutely love it. But yeah, The Call would be my number 7. Your number 6?
Inkling.
Stop stealing my thoughts.
Well, that's all right. You stole The Call, which I have higher, so.
Oh, well.
But yeah, it's showing that, you know, Ink originally started doing it because she was trying to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And then it backfired and bit her in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This also shows that she has a daughter who cannot keep money to save her life. She has constant bills. She's almost worse than me at debt management, honestly.
Well, and then she screws her own mother over.
Yep.
Cold-hearted bitch.
Yep. Number 5, sir?
Ace in the Hole.
Wow. Only number 5?
Hey, he's a dog.
So? He's an awesome
he's
dog.
He's in my top 5. Get off my ass. He's only the baddest ass dog in the entire DCAU.
Yeah. What do you like about Ace in the Hole?
Because he's a dog. Well, because it shows his story, you know. I mean, from, yes, from the get-go, you know, him as a puppy, and then, you know, him being more or less corrupted, and then raised to kick ass and take names. And
mm-hmm.
Yep. And then the fact that he... helped Bruce.
Yep. My number 5 is April Moon. I don't know what it is about this episode, but this is really just a one-off episode. It has no real continuity ties to anything else or anything. I just really like this episode.
You just like mooning people.
No. No, I'm not Canadian, and my last name is not Dodd.
Thank no, you should you very be nice. We do have Canadian listeners and cohorts that host shows with us.
Uh-huh.
Well, you should single the one out by himself.
That's what I said. I said, I'm not Canadian. My last name is not Dodd.
The Geekcast Radio Network does not take responsibility for anything Michael Blanchard says about Canada.
Right. Sure. Uh-huh. It's my own half. Anyway. But April Moon, it's your standard story about old guy gets screwed over for, you know, young guy, etc. But it's still a really cool, sad story because this doctor just wants to do the right thing. Absolutely love it, though. Your number four, sir?
My number four is The Call. I like the vertical flying Superman. And then the modern Justice League, who they had to, you know, of course they have, you know, Hot Girl's replacement. They have GL's replacement. Instead of Martian Manhunter, they have Aqua Girl. And then instead of Wonder Woman, they have Barda.
Right,
which doesn't make any sense because I think she's supposed to be...
Well, they probably couldn't use Wonder Woman at the time or something. It was probably some embargo or something.
Yeah, they always have a stupid embargo, but which means she doesn't age. She just, you know, they took her from Apocalypse, and she's a Justice Leaguer now. And then Superman, I wasn't really fond of his voice, but I kind of dug the new design for him being older.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it some leeway anyway.
Yeah. It's Shooter McGavin, ladies and gentlemen.
He eats pieces of shit like you for breakfast. You eat pieces of shit? No!
Oh, Lord. Happy Gilmore. All right. My number four is Egg Baby. I love this episode. What? It's number four. It deserves it. It's just a hilarious episode. Hey, at least my countdown doesn't include Terry's friend dates a robot. You know.
Mine doesn't either.
I know it doesn't. I'm just saying in general. If you want to pick out a bad episode, you could pick out anything except Egg Baby. Egg Baby is just awesome. It's hilarious. It shows you how Terry can juggle life and Batman at the same time. And it's just really, really funny to me. Your number three, sir?
The ultimate resting place of Derek Powers and Mr. Freeze, Meltdown.
Ah, interesting.
I like it because we finally get rid of Powers. And...
Sorry, Mike.
I knew you were going to make that joke. but I like seeing Mr. Freeze come back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
With them cloning him a body. And then seeing him try to actively participate in society. And then his body starts having issues. And Powers tries to double cross him. And... he saves Batman, tells him to leave him be, making you once again feel sympathetic.
Yeah. Yep. Were you going to say anything else?
Nope.
Okay, you just kind of went silent. I'm like, wait, what? Number three for me is Ace in the Hole. Pretty much everything you've already said about it. You know, it's Ace's origin story. We get to see how he and Bruce came to be. And this is obviously after Alfred has passed away. And it was just a really, really interesting, awesome episode. And that dog ain't afraid of nothing. I mean, he went after that gigantic, you know, steroid-induced dog. That was pretty awesome. Your number three or two?
Two,
forget. Two. Number two, sir.
Rebirth. You get to see Batman in the new age bat suit in the beginning.
Yep.
Then, unfortunately, he starts suffering a stroke.
Heart attack. But, yeah.
Either way. And he actually picks up a gun. Mm-hmm. And then puts it down. And then seeing Terry put on the suit and their relationship start from there.
Right, right. Yep. I love Terry's line in that. You're an old Batman. You're just some scared old man or some lonely old man or something or other. Absolutely like that. My number two, actually, was my number one on my blog post at the time, but my number two is Out of the Past. Out of the Past is easily the most creepy and awesome episode of the entire series at the same time. You get to see Bruce and Terry as Bruce, a younger man, and Terry, his own age, and you know, you get to see them team up. Absolutely love that. Just everything about Out of the Past was great. I mean, first of all, Superstitious Cowardly Lot, wonderful. You know, that play, it's not Schwarbage. That play is Shway. Absolutely love that. So that is my number two. What is your number one, sir? Like, I didn't already know.
Out of the Past.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the fact that Raish comes back one last time. In the most original fashion.
I would say disturbing.
That too. But I love the fact that like 40-something-year-old Bruce and Terry are fighting side by side. Mm-hmm. And Bruce is like strong and big as an ox. And is about to thrash Terry and then they knock him out. So it's kind of funny seeing that. And then you gradually see him age again towards the end. But he did look kind of strange when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been nice to see him put on the old bat cape.
Yeah.
Temporarily. And have him and Terry kick some ass. But it was still cool nonetheless seeing both of them.
Mm-hmm. No. And my number one, obviously, is Rebirth. Rebirth is the beginning of the series. Rebirth is basically Bruce Wayne trying to save the granddaughter of one of his oldest female friends, because it's Bunny Vreeland, who is Veronica Vreeland's either daughter or granddaughter, something like that, I forget. As you already said, you know, just that chilling line before the... because I think this was the only episode of Batman Beyond that opened with a prologue before we got the actual title sequence of the show. And you see that ending part there where he's like, never again. And, you know, just absolutely awesome. And then as you go through, you know, I'm not going to retread what you already said, but what I love about this, and what took me, this show has been off the air. Batman Beyond has been off the air since, it's been 13 years since Batman Beyond went off the air. So it took me 13 years to find out that when, at the end of Rebirth, when Terry is sleeping on his bed and his mom knocks on his door, she's like, you have a visitor. It's Bruce Wayne. When he wakes up, the bat suit is under his bed. And I love how the episode ends. You know, Bruce says, you know, I find in my old age, I could use a gopher, you know, go for this, go for that. Terry says, I think I can handle it. And Bruce says, very well then, Mr. McGinnis, welcome to my world. And the music swells and it is awesome. And then we obviously go to what happens to Derek Powers, but absolutely love Rebirth. It's one of the best episodes of the entire series.
Yep.
So those are our countdowns for Legends of the Dark Knight. What do we want to talk about?
I think we should talk about Epilogue.
Yeah.
Because that's naturally the final conclusion to the entire DCAU, really.
Yep, it is very much so. Epilogue was something I was not expecting at all. It was something that I just figured that most people associate it as being the series finale to Batman Beyond, because let's face it, Under the Mask or Unmasked is so not a series finale, but Epilogue, which aired as a Justice League Unlimited episode for Justice League Unlimited Season 1. It basically tells the story, 65 years in the future. Adult Terry McGinnis breaks into the home of Amanda Waller and wants her to tell him a story of how he became to be Bruce Wayne's son. I actually have the article pulled up here on the DCAU wiki. I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and go through the continuity notes here.
That's cool.
When the Cadmus procedures that could have alerted someone's DNA came into question, Bruce Wayne says that those procedures have been illegal for decades. But Terry McGinnis responds, didn't stop the Joker from using them, on Tim Drake, referencing Return of the Joker. Terry mentions Mr. Freeze, possibly referring to his predecessor's showdown in Batman the Animated Series, episode Heart of Ice, and the new Batman Adventures, Cold Comfort, or his own encounter in Batman Beyond episode Meltdown, or even a combination of all the encounters. Terry continues dating Dana Tan since high school, and she now knows his secret identity. The JLU members who appear, Cairo, Warhawk, and Aquagirl, were introduced in Batman Beyond episodes The Call. Warhawk likewise appeared in the episode The Once and Future Thing Part 2, Time Warped. Likewise, the rogues who appear as members of the Iniquity Collective consist of three rogues from Batman Beyond, Ink, Shriek, and Stalker, introduced in Batman Beyond episodes Blackout, Shriek, and Bloodsport, respectively. Ace previously appeared in the Justice League episode Wild Cards. Amanda Waller serves as the government liaison, possibly replacing King Faraday for the Justice League. It's possible that Bruce named his dog after Ace from the Royal Flush Gang. You know, I never thought about that. That's interesting. The movie Terry exits out of with his mother and father, entitled The Grey Ghost Strikes, a nod to Bruce's childhood hero. Andrea Beaumont was the last seen in the film Batman Beyond, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Despite Waller scrapping Project Batman Beyond, Terry points out that his father was still murdered during Batman Beyond premiere Rebirth. Bruce tells Terry to meet Superman in the Metro Tower. Apparently, Terry hasn't become an official member since the Batman Beyond episode The Call, but only a part-timer, much like his predecessor. And this episode's final scene pictures Batman, Terry McGinnis, flying silhouetted against buildings, startling an airborne police craft, a reversed version of the opening scene with Man-Bat in Batman the Animated Series On Leather Wings. This episode marks the first time that Batman the Animated Series theme has been officially adapted for Terry. Terry's outfit and hairstyle mirrors Batman's out-of-costume appearance in the Justice League episode Starcrossed. His adult costume here is what they're talking about. Because Bruce was wearing black and gray in that. Let's see here. This episode was written and produced before Justice League Unlimited was renewed for an additional season. Thus, this episode was intended as an epilogue for the entire DC Animated Universe, starting in Batman the Animated Series, all the way to Justice League Unlimited. Although it's ambiguous on screen, producer-writer Dwayne McDuffie confirmed that the black and white sequences are Terry's imagination of what will happen if he resigns as Batman, not flashbacks. There are several clues that support this. In the black and white sequence, Terry smashes the clock down. By the end of the episode, the clock is intact. In the black and white sequence, Bruce was uncharacteristically forthcoming in his exchange with Terry, Also, in the final scene, he speaks casually with Terry. If such a stern spat had taken place, it would be unlikely of him to dismiss it. Terry breaks up with Dana in the black and white scene, but later on, he calls her over the phone, and she reacts too casually for someone who had just been dumped. According to Bruce Timm, Wayne is also Matt McGinnis's biological father. According to writer Dwayne McDuffie, Bruce, the world's greatest detective, was aware that Terry and Matt are his genetic offspring some point after Terry assumed the Batman mantle and realized Waller's machination, but would never bring it up as he wanted Terry to be his own man out of respect for Warren McGinnis as well, since he was the one who raised him since birth. So, epilogue. I love the flashback scene in epilogue from, you know, Waller's story talking about Ace and really showing you that Bruce Wayne does care.
Yeah.
I also love the black and white flash forward kind of scenes with him and the Justice League and him and Dana. So really, really dig that. Epilogue is just all around a great, great episode.
Yep, I watched that episode over and over when I first saw it.
Mm-hmm.
After I listened to Secret Origins.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, I would say that's one of the better episodes of the series. Even though it's after Batman Beyond, it's still Batman Beyond.
Absolutely.
So, I think that's it. Until next time.
Yep, the final episode of the podcast, episode 40. I have no idea what we're going to be doing in episode 40.
I really don't either, only... I think that what we'll end up doing is talking about, you know, the ride overall. Hopefully mm-hmm. we'll get Tara back for that episode. And then, I don't know. I guess we'll see where it goes from there.
Yep. I'm sure I'll have some sort of Joker brainstorm or something between the time now and the time we record that. So.
Yep. Hopefully we get some feedback, too.
Yes, give us feedback. Damn it, the show's ending.
Yep.
Well, take it away, Joker.
So, you can get a hold of us in the following ways. You can call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. You can comment on the episode, post on the website, geekcastradio.com. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can get a hold of us on Twitter by typing in @SCP21 for myself and
TFG and Mike
for you. And so until next time.
Well, Batsy, it's been a hoot as always. But I really must run. May the floss be with you.
Honey?
What?
Quick, get dressed. We have company.
Company?
Mr. Bruce Wayne, he's here to see you. I hope you don't mind milk. We're out of cream.
I prefer it. Terrence, sorry to get you up so early.
It's okay.
You never told me you knew Bruce Wayne.
Well, actually,
Why, I owe this boy my life. He defended me against a bunch of hooligans once. I tried to reward him, but he absolutely refused.
Mr. Wayne wants to offer you a job.
A job?
It's not much, mind you. I find that in my old age, I could use a part-time assistant. You know, a gopher. Go for this, go for that. An ally, as it were. Would you be interested?
Well, of course he would. Wouldn't you, honey? I mean, to work with someone as famous as Mr. Wayne.
Sure.
I warn you, I can be a difficult taskmaster. I accept nothing short of excellence from all who work for me.
I think I can handle it.
Very good then, Mr. McGinnis. Welcome to my world.